Hello and welcome to Newsmakers on CHCH Podcast. I'm your host, Louis Butko, and as the calendar turns to March, we here at CHCH are looking ahead to the next few months where a couple of major events are front and center. First up, we are exactly 5 weeks away from a total solar eclipse in which the Southern Ontario region will be one of the best spots to view the natural phenomenon. And we are just a couple months away from CHCH celebrating a major birthday. And to discuss both those and a bit more on what's going on in the world of CHCH is our news director, Greg O'Brien. Brian and Greg, 5 weeks today. I know you were down in Niagara Falls last week. It's a pretty big deal, this eclipse that's happening in 5 weeks' time.
Yeah, 5 weeks today. Don't look up unless you've got some special glasses on or, the stuff we bought for our cameras.
That was today. You were showcasing the lens. When something like this happens, like this is a major international story that's happening in our region. How do you attack that? How do you plan for something that we know is happening? Because it seems like it's going to be an all hands on deck day that day.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, and to be perfectly blunt, Sue McDonald's been doing more of the planning than I have, our executive producer. So, we're going to be doing some stories leading up into it about what the eclipse is, why you can't look at it, how it can damage your eyes. But it's also, it's going to be attracting a ton of people tourism to Niagara Falls for sure, because that's sort of the epicenter in our area where the eclipse is passing over. One thing we want to do as well is we might even break into our regularly scheduled programming as the eclipse passes over, because it's something that's not going to happen again for quite some time. The last eclipse that I remember, I was in grade school. And I was also in Northern Ontario, so it was, 800 miles or 800 kilometers to the north of here. So I don't think the eclipse happened here then, but it certainly did happen in Northern Ontario. So, we had to stay indoors at recess, whatever it was. And I remember it getting dark and then lightening back up. And, there's lots to think about and plan for, for a major news event like this.
Yeah, like I said, all hands on deck. I tried to take the 8th off. I wasn't allowed, so.
Well, come on. You live in that area, man.
No, I'm very, and it's one of those things that, again, being like a hyper local station, we'll get into conversation about that. And we haven't chatted since the Bell Media cuts and where local news is right now, I think is important. But a lot of people in this neighborhood tune us in, right? Burlington, Niagara, it's a stretch, and it is the best place to watch it. So it is being a part of it, but also telling that story as well.
Yeah, exactly. Like we've got to dive deep in as we can. We've got to talk to people as it's happening. We've got to, we're going to talk to the Hamilton Amateur Astronomy Club. We've got Mary O'Carr on every Sunday, talking about your night sky, and they're actually doing some events leading into it as well to explain what the eclipse is and how to look at it without hurting yourself, because it will burn your retinas if you stare at it for a while.
Tried to test that theory, though, so who knows?
Yeah. Well, that might speak to his level of intelligence.
There you go.
But generally don't stare at the sun is pretty much good advice, no matter what time of day it is, whether there's an eclipse or not. But we're looking forward to it. It's going to be a really cool event. And the fact that we're here, it's right in our area. We're going to plan to have a bunch of people down in Niagara that day, sort of stake out the best spots. I mean, it's up in the sky, right? You can see it from anywhere. But we want to talk to people on the ground, too, and see what they think. There'll probably be some end timers out there that this is a harbinger of something or other. Yeah. Those are always, sort of the fun aspects of the story.
Absolutely. 5 weeks today, that really, when I said it out loud, it really became real, right? It's one of those things that we've been reporting on it. I think last year, Niagara people were saying, we need to be ready for the influx of tourists that are coming in. And it sounded so far away. And now it's like, oh, no, April 8th, 2024 is 5 weeks away.
Yeah. And Shelly, Steve, and Brian have been putting it in their weather. Is it weather? I guess it's up in the sky, like the clouds and the rain. In the snow. So I think it counts, but they've been highlighting when it's coming and the track it's going to be on. I keep going back to the website myself just to remind myself of the time and what it all means. It's a pretty neat event and pretty rare that it's passing right over us.
Pretty incredible. Another thing that's incredible is June 7th will mark 70 years of CHCH being a part of this community, informing, doing what we've been been known to do here. Again, something that's going to take quite a bit of planning, and that planning's been ongoing already. Not to put you on the spot, you just came out of a meeting. What can you tell us about the big party?
Well, you know, we're planning to have some special broadcasting events through the week. We're going to have interviews on Morning Live all week long. You know, we're going to try and bring back some of our former broadcaster friends who worked here. I think Connie Smith has said she'd like to come back. I've already reached out to Bob Cowan. Hopefully he'll want to come back. I think he will. And we just want to celebrate all that we've done in the past 70 years, because I mean that's quite a legacy, right? That we've been in this community with news, with entertainment, with all kinds of programming for so long. You know, your new shelf behind you has a lot of the old technology that we have. That's, you know, that is probably a lot of it's now software that you can't even see. But it's great to it's great to celebrate the past. But what we also want to do with that 70th celebration is look forward to the next 70 years, because you know there's so much opportunity and so much growth and so much. Interest in this area and a growing area that we want to continue to keep serving and expanding the ways we do, like podcasts like this one. You know, we want to be able to do more and look towards the future.
So, with all that being said, here we've been 70 years. What makes you confident that there is another 70 years left in what we're doing right now?
Well, I don't have that kind of crystal ball, Louis.
But in the trends that we live in, right? Bell Media's cutting jobs, Rogers, there's these two major companies in Canada that control a lot of the stations that people watch on television. Then there's players like us. You know, there's a bunch of little guys we like to consider ourselves against these titans. What gives you confidence as the news director that, what we're doing is sustainable?
Because we are the little guy. We are focused solely on serving our area. We don't have cell phone packages to sell. We don't have broadband to sell. We don't have to look at our share price every day and make sure it hits a certain threshold so that, the institutional shareholders are happy, because they can buy and sell the shares and trade on that, or worry about, all of the pressures that come with being, a national conglomerate like some of the others are. We are about our area. And if you look around the country and even around North America, there's tons of growth happening on the local news level. You and I talked about this earlier today. You know, Village Media, based in Sault Ste. Marie, a town I know because I went to high school there after I moved away from Timmins. My last 2 years of high school was in Sault Ste. Marie.
So. Shout out Rocky DiPietro.
Rocky DiPietro. I met the guy way back when. and the Espositos, for that matter. Wayne Gretzky played there for a year, and God, I'm old. So. Anyway, they got their start in Sault Ste. Marie. They grew from there, and they recently launched the Flamborough Today. They've looked at where some of the other bigger media outlets are pulling out of or stopping their print publications or whatever they're doing, and they're saying, look, we think we can make a go of it here. So they've launched Flamborough Today with a few reporters and some sales reps, and they've recently purchased the Pelham publication, the Niagara on the Lake publication. They've launched in Burlington. And we've launched something called the Brant Beacon 2 years ago, because we see value in local news and delivering for people in the communities. And, we've still have a ton of loyal local advertisers who want their brand associated with our news. So these are all very different and very good things for CHCH.
Some of the bad things that have happened in this industry as of late, and I want to get to this quote here from Meta, because I know how big of a fan you are of Facebook and Meta and all that stuff. So, the other day, Meta said, we're pulling out of news. And here's what they had to say. So we know that people don't come to Facebook for news and political content. They come to connect with people and discover new opportunities, passions, and interests. As we previously shared in 2023, news makes up less than 3% of what people around the world see in their Facebook feed, and a small part of the Facebook experience for the vast majority of people. That top line, we know that people don't come to Facebook for news and political content. That seems a little misleading. How do you read that statement?
That's flat out garbage. You know, you have to spend a little bit of time on Facebook to see people are looking for political and news content everywhere. And the stuff that they're seeing on Facebook and Instagram and other things that Meta owns is, you know, it's not news. It's not professional news. It's stuff that people are making up, you know, and Facebook keeps saying less than 3% of people come to their news. That's Facebook's number. Like that we, you know, somebody gives, you're doing a news report.
Yeah.
Somebody gives you a number. Do you verify it?
I try.
Yeah. You verify it. Facebook won't let us verify anything.
Yeah.
We can't see their algorithm. There's zero transparency in what they do and what they say. So I don't believe it.
Yeah.
I simply don't believe it. They just don't want to contribute to news. They don't want the headaches that come with news that we deal with every day, you know, of checking out things, of dealing with difficult situations, difficult stories, difficult people. That's something that we do every single day that Facebook just doesn't want any part of because it impacts the amount of money that they can make. So they are pulling out of the deal they had in Australia. So they'll soon be blocking news in Australia. There are different U.S. states that have legislation coming forward where they want Facebook to contribute to news, to paying journalists. And Facebook has said, well, we won't print their, we won't show their news either. So Illinois and California are the two that are leading the way there. There's other places around the world. So Facebook's just saying, you know, to heck with it. We don't care what's on our platform. We don't care that we have advertisers that rip off videos like they did of ours and then use those videos, those advertisers alter the video, use them to rip off Facebook users, and Facebook then tells us that that doesn't violate their community standards. Oh. Facebook is not a good company. To me, they are the Dow Chemical, the tobacco companies of this generation.
Yeah. Well, to that point, they are so big, they're not going anywhere. So what do we do? Because this is a question I ask a lot of my guests, is like, how do we become more, better informed citizens in the age of social media? And when you do see things like Facebook, or when people share content on Facebook that is not fact-checked, is not verified in any way, is just somebody's rantings of a lunatic that are unfiltered, that are being shared, saying, did you see this? Like, how do you fight back against that? Especially in what we do as journalists, who... I have friends who will send me fake news, like literal fake news. And then they're the ones who are calling me, like us, fake news, right? Like, how do you battle that? And here we are, 2024, where fake news is such a term that is thrown around so frequently by everybody, by political leaders, both in the U.S. and here now. How do you fight that?
It's a tremendous challenge. Don't get me wrong. It's a tremendous challenge. Facebook and Google and Amazon and Apple just vacuum up so much money and so much attention. So, you know, all we can do is keep doing what we do, is put out real, factual, verified news. That said, we do need help from citizens in this area. We need them to recognize that what they're seeing on social media isn't real. If they want verified, factual news, they have to find a news brand like us, like The Spectator, like CTV, whatever it might be. You know, I want people to come to us, of course.
Thank you.
But you know, it's always been easy for consumers historically to consume news. The newspaper boxes were always on the street corner. The radio stations were always just turn it on. Now there's so much competition for attention. You know, you can sit there and scroll and scroll and scroll and scroll through TikTok or whatever it is that you're a fan of, and you might see real news on there because we're on there, but you see a whole lot of junk that just robs you of your attention. It robs you of your life. You know, it's... I'll tell you a little story from my wife, who's a high school teacher. She's recently retired.
Congratulations! I wonder what that's like.
But she talked to a kid in one of her classes, and she was talking about, you know, things she did when she was a student and all of the stuff she got to do as a kid. You know, tobogganing, going out with friends, all the rest of it. And the kid said to her, "You know, I feel cheated." And she's like, "What do you mean you feel cheated?" So I hear about all the stuff you did as a kid, all the fun you had with your friends. My memories are all of me on my phone, just sitting in my house. You know, I don't know what the, I don't know how to answer that, yeah, other than to say, put down your phone and go experience life. And when you need a news fix, tune in at 6 o'clock, or yeah, you know, AM or PM, or you know, for trending now at 7, 11:30, or anytime we have a Newsmakers podcast. I mean, look for that CHCH logo.
Yeah,
to say this is where the news is, and everything else. It's really tough, you know?
It is really tough. And, you know, I have the conversation with people all the time, too, about, like, how do you stay encouraged about things that are going on? And, you know, I look down to the U.S. and, you know, again, on this show, I've had politicians and other writers and other journalists. And the question, it always comes down to, how can we be a more informed group of citizens, because you need to know what's going on. There's a lot of people out there who are going to try and get away with things if we're not there to shine a light on it, us being journalists. But there is a news literacy, and you can speak to this as somebody who's worked in newspapers and now on TV. Like, news literacy is gone completely downhill, I think, with just a lot of slanted views that you know, try to tell you that they're news when it's really opinion. And it works on both sides, I would argue.
Yeah, we're giving our opinions right now.
We are.
you know, under the auspices of both of us having worked in news for so long, I don't really know the answer to how to attract more people's attention beyond continuing to, you know, as I keep saying, keep chopping wood.
Yeah.
You know, you keep trying to build what we have here. You keep trying to build you know, a solid news brand. Like, we have built a solid news brand, but we have to keep on building on top of that, going out there every day. The news, or the so-called news that are just opinion, they never leave their offices or their basements or their coffee shops. We are going to where the news happens. We are canvassing neighborhoods to find out what happened with this latest murder, what happened with this fire, to try and find people who will tell us what's going on. You know, we are talking about, you know, to be careful of certain things because, you know, they're bad for you. Taylor salads, whatever it is, whatever it might be, we're trying our darndest to be the source you can rely on and turn to when you have a real question about something, when you have a real concern. You can come to us and we will tell your story. Or if you want to know what's going on with Burlington City Council or Hamilton City Council or the Ticats, we will tell their story. And we will tell it from a way that's truthful and factual.
So a lot of people, some people, today, Luke and I were driving somewhere. Luke, our morning live camera off. We were driving back from somewhere. We had somebody yell an obscenity at us out the window. They saw CHCH. They yelled something at us. What do you say to those people? Are they too far gone? Like people who truly believe that we have to run everything through the government to make sure it goes to air. Because there are people out there. There are people out there who think we are bought and paid for by the Liberal government, by the government in general. Are those people just so far gone that there's nothing I can say on this show to convince them that Justin Trudeau does not pay my paycheck? There's not, like, are those people too far gone, or is there a way to get them back?
Again, I don't know if there's a way to get them back other than to say, thanks for watching.
Yeah.
When they do yell something like that out. And I've said this to you before, Louis, is the biggest thing we can do is to not make it personal. You know, when they say it's fake news, when they say, you know, you are being controlled by the government, instead of saying you're wrong or that's stupid, we just say your information is incorrect. Mm. I can show you the books. There is no influx. There's no payment for CHCH from the federal government. Zippo. Zero. The funds that have been created by the federal government go to newspapers. And honestly, they need the money.
Yeah.
You know, we've seen what's happened in this area with the newspapers in this area. Is that the best way to do it? It worries me because it does come from the federal government. It does you know, it can, to certain people, look like they're being bought and paid for, and they have to be careful what they say. But the folks like that who are as far gone as you say, I wish they would self-analyze a little bit more. You can't at the same time say our prime minister is a boob, a walking, talking moron who doesn't know what he's doing, and at the same time he's running this giant Machiavellian scheme in the background to make sure that, you know, we are only reporting what they say, and something's going on at the World Economic Forum, which I don't quite understand, but apparently there's something going on through there. Like, there's no way that could be both things. He's either the smartest, most evil man, or he's a moron. He can't be both.
Yeah.
You know? And what I think he is he's the prime minister. He's trying to do the best he can day by day. Do I disagree with a lot of stuff he's done? Sure. Do I agree with a lot of stuff he's done? Also sure. He's trying to be the best that he can do. He's trying to be the best that he can be and do the best that he can do every day. Just like what we do here. There's no hidden conspiracy. There's no black hat. There's nobody behind the curtain working the levers.
Yeah. I mean, like, I've done stories. Obviously, I would love if somebody wants to. No, I'm not taking any bribes. Any bribes on this show. Greg, really enlightening conversation. Thank you for joining me today.
No problem, Louis. Great as always.
I do have to mention that we've been doing this a year. CHCH podcast officially kicked off in October, I want to say, but our very first Trending Now podcast happened in February 2023. So CHCH has been paying me exactly a year now to just talk. So thank you for that. I appreciate it.
Louis, you've been doing a sweet job.
Look at
this wonderful set we have now. What was your first?
My first was leaning on the sports desk into a wireless microphone into a Sony camera. So we've come a long way.
Mics. We've got a set.
We got a director, Mike Corson. Thank you, Mike Corson. But Chantal Grillo, again, huge shout out to the little piece of history here behind me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, excellent work by everybody, as always.
Okay, well, thank you for joining us today. My thanks to Greg O'Brien. He is the news director here at CHCH for joining me today. Again, thanks, Mike Corson, for directing today's show. Thanks, Chantal Grillo, for rolling the prompter as well. Really do appreciate it. And thank you for listening, because we could not do the show without your support. So make sure you like and subscribe to CHCH Podcast. So you never miss an episode of this show or any of the other great shows we have for you, including a new Trending Now podcast that dropped on Friday. And make sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode of Sportsline, which you can catch every Tuesday to Friday, wherever you get your favorite podcast. One more time, thanks for listening from all of us here at CHCH. I'm Louis Butko. Have a great day.